This series will discuss how you can navigate the easy and tough decisions you make in life, the stories that may help you grow and move forward to a happier you. Choices.
Good evening. My name is Brett Stalk. Welcome to the Choices Podcast at choicesofficialpodcast.com. We are all about making better choices in all parts of our life. Today's topic is No One Is Listening.
And I'm John Fossum. I'm Brett's sidekick. And we have been friends for a long time, and we continue to be friends. And I'm looking forward to this because I know the feeling of speaking but nobody listening, or so it seems.
So, Carcass, you got a good song for us tonight?
I do, and I sort of stumbled across this one. You and I both kind of agree on this band. Of course, if I said the Beatles, then of course you would wholeheartedly agree. But this is a song by Pink Floyd. I'm sure people are familiar with it, called Comfortably Numb. And the first several lines are very, very important to our topic tonight.
Please tell the fans, please tell the listeners about Pink Floyd, how many albums they sold.
Pink Floyd sold in excess of 300 million records, second only to the Beatles. They sold more than most of those bands. And I know they're a little bit obscure and nerdy in some respects. And they went through a few lineup changes, but I think they always maintained the integrity of the band and never strayed too far away, unlike some of the more modern bands that we could talk about, but we won't. So, awesome. Comfortably Numb, which is off of the Wall album, which was an epic concept record that some people really love, and some people just, they thought it was too long, but I actually kind of like it, and I could have compiled it to one record, I think, and it would still be been a solid record. But this is one of my favorite songs, called Comfortably Numb. It says hello, and then it echoes hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody out there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone home? Come on now, I hear you're feeling down. Well, I can ease your pain, get you on your feet again. Relax, I need some information first. Just the basic facts. Can you show me where it hurts? And then it goes on to say, there is no pain, you are receding. A distant ship smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what they're saying. When I was a child, I had a fever. My hands felt like two balloons. Now I got the feeling once again. I can't explain. You would not understand. This is how I am. I've become comfortably numb. The song, I guess, it was written about someone who had a very tough childhood, so circumstances were dictating their feelings, and they were always crying for help, but didn't receive it. And so that's part of what we'll talk about tonight, I'm guessing. And how do you feel about that, the idea that we feel like sometimes we're talking, communicating, or trying to express ourselves, but nobody's listening?
I'm going to pound on the table tonight. This is like one of my favorite topics to coach about. It's the hardest subject yet, because I never forget, I went in to see this therapist and I said, I don't know what's going on with me, but I think I need to go take a listening class. And she said, you'll be fine. Just sit there and talk about your feelings, and I promise you, you'll start listening better. And she was right. It took me 7 years, but she was right. Today's subject is by far the hardest one we talked about. Listen to the statistic on this, Carcass. 45% of a person's time awake is engaged in some type of listening, which amounts to 7.58 hours per day. Each person hears between 20,000 to 30,000 words each day, which on average amounts to 0.3 to 0.5 words per second. Wow.
Wow.
Stay with me.
That's a lot of information being disseminated all at once.
All at once. Okay, listen. That's how much of our day is 8 hours a day you spend listening, okay? So let's talk about speaking. The average person speaks 16,000 words a day, between 4,000 to 14,000 less than what we hear. On average, a person who hasn't developed listening skills retains around 50% of a conversation immediately after it takes place. That's like when you walk away, you retain 50%. Within 48 hours, it drops to 25% retention. That tells us we have a huge problem on listing. You know why, Carcass?
I'm gonna listen for your answer, but I have a thought about this.
Okay, knock it out. Go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna, you know, I think people are narcissistic. I think they like, my dad used to say, I'm not speaking up here just to hear my brain rattle, which meant we weren't listening to him. And now as a parent and as a leader in the community and at church and at work, I kind of understand when I'm trying to convey a message or an idea and you get that 1,000-yard stare, as they call it, where people are nodding their head yes, but you know they don't have a clue what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just like right over their head.
Right.
Okay, I've done a lot of work on this. The second best book ever written, first is the Bible. The second is, what is it, Carcass?
I hesitate to say.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
By Dale Carnegie. It's a very old book, but it is absolutely the best book on communication that you've ever read in your life. The premise of the book is people are interested in what they want and not what we want. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It goes along with your narcissistic opinion. It's true.
I think sometimes, I was in the tattoo business for about a year, and I mentored under a guy who was, I think I've mentioned his name, Bob Shaw. And sometimes people would come in and talk to him. He already had a premise and an idea and a design in his head, but as a courtesy, he would listen. And one time he even told my daughter, and you can ask Mara and Ingrid about this next time you see her, talk to her. He said to her, I hear what you're saying, but you're going to get what I want. And sure enough, her idea was interesting, but his idea, design, and application was far superior. And she trusted in him. I trusted in him because I knew him well enough to know that he absolutely was doing what should have been done. But I think that people have a hard time understanding, and I experience that sometimes too. People refer to me for my expertise in landscaping and or art and design. But when they have me go through the motions to give them an idea and then they just walk away from it and do whatever they want, it's a little bit hurtful. It kicks me a little bit in the slats, and I don't feel like I communicated very well.
Who is the best listener that you know?
The best listener? Both of my parents are good listeners. My daughter has learned to be a good listener. And my queen, Stephra, has become quite the listener.
It's really odd because I've taken time to really study this in real life, okay? So in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I forgot what chapter it was in. It was in, all the chapters talk about it. He talks about how when you're talking to somebody, they don't really care about what you want. They care about what they want. You know what I mean? And it's like the dopamine level in the brain. It's feeding the dopamine level when you're talking to somebody. If they're talking about you, your dopamine level goes up. And why that's really cool, because I've experimented with it, and it's true. When you're talking to somebody, most of the time, I would say 85% of the time, that person is thinking about what they're going to say next instead of listening to you. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
So you got to change the whole game, and you have to practice listening to somebody. When you listen to them, you shut your own mind out about yourself, and you really listen to what they're saying. And then you ask them questions about what they're talking about. It's like direct examination on the witness stand. Who, what, when, where, why? What's your name? Who are you with? Where do you live? All those kind of who, what, when, where, why questions. If you start asking people that when you're talking to them about what they're talking about, watch the result. They're so happy, you know, and they really give a damn about what you're thinking about or what you're saying.
Well, now
they're happy about what they're saying.
Now that I'm processing it, you're absolutely right. I can see where, I mean, if you ask questions about me, I enjoy talking about my experience or my abilities or what have you. And as I think about it, the people that I think are good listeners just sit and let me talk. They're not, I can see that they're not processing, well, how am I going to fix this? Or I'm just letting them kind of unload, so to speak. And then as then normally what will happen is I'll say, well, what do you think about that? And I'll give them the opportunity to respond. But I guess my frustration comes in, you come to me, like if you were to do this, let's say when I did the design on your house, the landscaping, and I had this elaborate plan and I had an idea of what it should look like. And I have this inherent ability when I drive up on a yard or whatever, I can landscape it in my head. I know what it's supposed to look like. And you say, yeah, I want to do this, this, and this, and I want to do this, this, and this. And I say, so if I did this, would it be okay? And you said, yes. And then I came back and you did something completely different. Did we really communicate? It was it's like you weren't really listening to me.
Carcass, it goes like this. So what do you do today, John?
What did I do today? I went to work.
What time?
6:30.
Where'd you go?
I went to Carrollton. Then I went
where else you go?
I went to Alliance and I went to 28th Street, North Fort Worth area, and went to South Fort Worth, circled back around, came back to the Keller area.
Wow. Do you have jobs in all that area?
Yes, I do.
How many jobs were that you went and did?
Four.
Wow. What'd you spend time doing at each job?
Well, I look for quality control. I look for problem areas. I checked irrigation control. Make sure that everything's good. We've had quite a bit of rain lately, so I'm making sure that things aren't overwatering.
Wow. Did you have problems with that today?
There were some problem areas that I discovered.
How'd you fix them?
I adjusted the clock.
Oh, to make it where it didn't water as much.
Make sure that it didn't water as much, correct.
What time did you finish this?
About 3:30.
But you put a full day in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still had to paperwork, and I do that from home sometimes.
Wow. So you put a lot of miles on your car.
Yes, I do. I sure
do. Do you listen to our podcast in your car?
I absolutely do. I want to know how to get better. I want to know how to make it better. So I listen to myself thinking that I'm probably my own worst enemy because I'm harder on myself than I am on others around me. So I like to improve.
What was the best part of your day?
The best part of my day was getting ready for this show.
What was the worst part of your day?
Sitting in traffic. But I've learned to cope with traffic by listening to our podcast or listening to music or being hands-free and calling a family member or a friend.
I was going to ask you that. Do you talk to your parents when you're in traffic?
Sometimes.
Dude, you're a good son. You are.
I call them frequently because, Brett, they're 87 years young, but you know what? They've already broken the barrier of the average age, so you never know.
Man, you got to keep that up because it's nice to have them around.
Well, I used to call both my kids frequently, and I call Marin frequently because you might get that other phone call that you don't want to receive that nobody should receive. So
right. Okay, stop. Do you see how that conversation was all about you?
Sure.
How do you feel after me asking you questions and talking about your day?
I feel like I owe you the same courtesy.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I learned something. Notice I'm writing down as we're talking.
I had a partner one time, but before we get into effective ways to listen, because that's the best type of listening. It's called effective listening. I had this guy, all my people who went through Discovery knew Fred. We were partners. Dude, I'm telling you, I would be in a business meeting with him or something, and somebody would upset him, and he would say, Carcass, make eye contact with me. I'm talking to you. Now I want you to listen. Everybody in the room would be like, OMG, this guy. But he would get his attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was the best at that. And
but what I learned from him is, and I've noticed this, and I'm not being contrarian. I'm just being real. When I write stuff down, it's kind of like the tactile learning that we talked about briefly in other episodes. If I write it down, I'm not going to forget it. And if I write it down, I'm actually paying better attention. And it gives me a reference point to go back to and see. And if I write it down, it must have been important. And so I don't want to be that person that walks away from a conversation and forgets half of what I just learned.
Okay, so I work completely different. I learned when I was trying cases at the DA's office, I taught myself how to learn 52 jurors' names, where they lived, and what they did for a living within 5 minutes. Where they were, what their number was, what their name was, where they lived, and what they did. And you can't do that by writing.
No, you can't.
And then I would do a trial. I never took a note because I always listened. I'd have other people taking notes, but I wanted to listen. And today I have Leah in my office, who everyone knows is 10 feet from me. She takes notes all day long because when I want my clients coming to my office, I want them listening. I want them talking about their case. I don't want them writing notes. And then what Leah does is she's the best note taker in the world. She writes them out, types them out, saves them to the computer, and prints them out and sends them to everyone that was in the meeting. It works for me that way. I like to listen by listening.
I have a thing about eye contact too. I think that you deliver the message a little more poignantly when you're, and normally I would direct my eyes, my gaze on whoever I'm talking to.
I'm telling you, if somebody has really got your goat, that's the first step in becoming an effective listener is maintaining eye contact. And I do it with people come in my office all the time. I'm like, because the first thing they do is they cross their arms and cross their legs.
That means that they are not a willing participant.
No, they're shut down. Hey, and I go, would you mind opening arms, open body? I want you to be able to send and receive a message I'm fixing to give you. And they like it. They do. They like learning that. But I'm going to give you, I always like to give the takeaway. I don't mind toasting somebody, but I want to go to a level where it's positive. Because listening is hard. You really, I only know of a couple of good listeners. I have a friend, Mike Steele, the best. He listens, you know what I mean? And he asks questions about you, not about him. He does a good job. John McShane is. I have some good friends that are good at it, but it takes work. It's like a muscle. You got to work it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're sitting there with four people and one person's talking, most likely you're out in the ozone level and not paying attention to what that person's saying. But you'll surprise somebody if you're one of the four that's really focused in on what that person's saying and what that person wants to know about themselves. It's all about themselves. You got that?
I got it.
It ain't nothing about you. And when you start thinking that it's about you, you're wrong. You're totally dropping the ball in a listening. So I'm going to give you 8 ways. You going to write this down, Carcass?
If I can maintain eye contact with you. Well, and
still use one eye on me and one eye on a piece of paper.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. Number one.
8 ways to become an effective listener. Number one, maintain eye contact. Put the telephone down and give the person you're talking to full attention. You got that?
Yep.
Number two, nonverbal cues are important ways to listen. You have to be open body. You have to maintain eye contact. You need to shake your head yes when you're understanding what they're saying, or no, or something to give them a nonverbal cue that you're listening to them. Number three, clarity. Get confirmation on your understanding by rephrasing what you heard. I was doing that when I was exercising listening with you. Oh, wow. You're driving 4 different jobs. You're putting a lot of miles on your car, man, right? And you were like, right. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, your dopamine level was shooting through the roof because I'm acknowledging an issue that you have in your life with just putting too many miles on your car. Number four, practice pure listening. Remove all distractions, especially when you're like in a group of people listening. This is hard to do. Don't look at the clock, right? Listen to the person. I'm going to tell you something too. Have you noticed people walking across the street, Carcass, looking at their phones?
Mm-hmm.
While they're walking?
Yeah.
I do that every once in a while. My wife gets so mad at me. Sanka's like, would you put your phone down? Dude, I lost a friend of mine. She was a trainer at Park City's trainer. And she's a good lady, good trainer. And she walked out over there but at Travis Walk, walked between two cars, walked right out looking at her phone in front of a van. And she killed her. I don't know what the statistic is, but I bet that happens more than you could ever imagine. People looking at their phone, walking, and getting hit by a car.
I wonder what I would be interested to see what the initial, well, if nothing, for nothing else, just the injury rate of you staring at your phone and walking with it.
Falling down.
Yes. Something I did. We like just that. Had this happen to us. We went shopping on Saturday because we, one of the kids has prom next week. So we went, we had a purpose, and I was responding to somebody, and she said, how do you do that? And I said, what? She said, walk and text at the same time. She said, I can't do that. And I said, well, I've got two people and I'm in between you and my periphery. I can see you. And I just trust that you're not going to run me into a pole or something. But I was trying not to. We had a certain amount of time, and we had a purposeful trip to the mall, and we had to stay on point. So I couldn't stop and do that.
Carcus, but I think that's a good cure for it. Is to stop when you text.
I think ideally that is the way to stay safe. Yes.
I was playing tennis a while ago tonight, and a friend of mine was walking across the parking lot, and she was looking at her phone, texting and emailing. I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's so dangerous.
It's bad enough when you see people doing that when they're driving, but it's just as dangerous when you're not driving, when you're just walking.
They're going to make it sooner or later. They're going to make it strict liability that if you're using your phone while you wreck, that you're the person liable, whether or not you're liable or not.
Right.
You know, that should happen too. Okay.
Number five.
Five. Attitude. Keep an open and accepting attitude by not jumping to conclusions about what the other person's saying. In depot prep, we call it don't play cat and mouse. When you're listening to somebody and you know where they're going in their conversation, don't jump to where they're going. Let them go all the way down the road. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say. Don't play cat and mouse. You know, remember Tom and Jerry? He's always trying to catch the cat.
Right.
Catch the mouse. All right. Empathize. Try to turn your mind off. Be with the speaker and work to see things from their point of view. And ask questions about what they're saying. And when you're doing that, I'm telling you, at first, it feels awkward. But when you do it, and you consciously do it, it gets easier and easier. It's like a muscle. But you become a better listener.
Well, empathy, too, is for maybe people that don't understand that term, is super important. Because sympathy means I feel sorry for your situation or it's unfortunate. But empathy means I've experienced what you've experienced. And you're able to further understand where they might be, which allows you to help them even more.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm angry and I'm in a bad mood and someone's talking, sometimes I catch myself just being pissed instead of listening to what they're saying. Come on, Carcus. You too.
I've never been there.
I'm just no?
Kidding. No, believe me, I've been there a time or two. But I try to, you know what, if somebody, that's why... Somebody asked me the other day about, you know, being offended. And I've been offended before. But you know what? I never burn the bridge. I don't call in a napalm strike. I don't pour gas on it and light it on fire. I might close it with some caution tape because I want to give that person a chance to come back and cross the bridge with me in a communicative method.
Oh, I'm not talking about mad. At the person that's talking.
No. And I hear you.
Okay.
That's one aspect of it. But to your point, I try to never be angry because it's a wasted emotion. According to the Romans, they said that anger is a wasted emotion. And
I don't know, man. Well, it's hard to practice law and not get angry. There's so many knuckleheads.
No. Yeah, I understand. Well, I had a martial arts teacher said, I don't condone violence, but I don't rule it out either. Which is along the same lines where anger is probably a wasted emotion, but there are times. I mean, if you're religious, even the Savior, Jesus himself, got angry when they were desecrating his father's house.
Hey, Carcus, how about when you're looking, you're in a conversation,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you get a work email and it pisses you off?
Have you been scoping out my phone? Have you got my phone?
No. I'm just saying, you immediately stop listening to what that person, the speaker, is saying because you're pissed and you're like, "How can I get in this out of this conversation and go over and take care of this email that I'm pissed at this guy about?" That's what I'm talking about.
You know what I do?
What,
Brett? If I know I'm talking to somebody that I need to be focused on completely, I just leave my phone in the car. Because unless it's going to be an extended...
I think we need to add number nine.
Okay. So we haven't gotten to seven yet, but...
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Empathize.
No, empathize is 6.
Attitude.
Attitude was 5.
You're right. This is number 6.
Empathize is number 6, so number 7 is?
7 is leave your phone in the car.
Amen.
I think that I'm going to really start doing that more and more. Like going out to dinner with the family. I want to hear what my kids have to say and my wife. And the best way to do that is leave the phone in the car.
How often do you go to a restaurant and there's a table full of people and not one of them is talking to each other? They're like this with their face in their phone.
I almost want to, you know what we ought to do? We ought to come up with a phone holding basket. That's a really cool basket that you take to dinner with you and you make everybody put their phones in the basket before you have dinner and then give it to them at the end.
Yeah.
Give it. Phones back to
I told you what we used to do at my house when I was growing up on Monday, it was just one night a week, but we would turn the ringers off, the TVs off, stereos off, everything. And we gathered together and we ate dinner and we looked each other in the eye and then we went back to doing our normal thing. But there was a short period where we were all not forced, but expected to sit and communicate with each other and converse.
You know what they call that nowadays?
Torture, punishment.
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
I like it. Let me tell you, when I married Sankin to the Greek family, the Greeks have taught me more about family than anybody ever taught me. Her dad had Sunday dinner. He was in the Sunday paper because every Sunday he had dinner and steaks. Everybody came from the family. Nobody missed Sunday dinner. You don't miss Papu's Sunday dinner. Nobody had their phones around the table. And after dinner, it was always time to get in a political discussion or something. It was hilarious. Just hilarious. Anyways, that man showed me more. And, you know, if we went back to the Sunday dinner, you know, as a family, I think that that would do more for our nation than anyone could imagine. Because this whole getting food delivered to the door or, you know, instant food, and you don't have to sit around a table. You can go up to your room and shut the door and eat. You need to come down.
Something that we've tried to instill, and we're still young and learning how to do this, and the matrimony hasn't happened yet, but we're practicing good principles before it all it becomes real. And we do that. We do things, the four of us that are going to be in the house, we do that. We eat dinner together. We converse together. We go to the movie together. We go to the mall together. And that doesn't mean we don't have our own separate lives, but we talk about the day-to-day, like you suggested. How was your day? What did you do? And I do that better with other people than I do with myself, I guess.
Okay. You know what else is a pretty cool just came to my mind?
Okay.
My wife's real good at this. She could tell when I was upset or something or mad. And you ask somebody, are you angry? And they look at you like, busted.
Yep. Right? Yep.
And what are you mad about? And get them to talk about it.
Sure.
It works real well. Hey, are you angry? That way, nothing's ever built up inside. You go to bed where you're not mad at each other, right? You're going to talk about it, get it
well,
done.
Well, and that's the worst thing. I think holding it in causes more issues than you can shake a stick at because we're afraid to communicate those feelings or that the reason why we're upset or we're angry, either it makes us feel vulnerable or we don't think it's any big deal. But boy, if you can't open up to the people around you, then that's a big negative. In my opinion, anyway.
Well, I've enjoyed this session. I think listening is very important. I think the nation has a problem where no one's listening across the aisle to each other. Everyone's just on power struggles. No one cares about what everyone is concerned about. It's a problem. But we would like to end this show with a quote that summarizes our talk. This week, it is by Unknown.
Oh.
Be the person your dog thinks you are. I love that.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm going to write that one down.
Okay, guys. Homework this week is to listen to the speaker without worrying about yourself, to practice it at least 2 times. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. We'd like to get our population larger. We'd like for you to share it with your friends. You know, we're just two guys going down the same river that everybody else is. And we appreciate everybody that you send it to. We're going to end up going live here in a couple of weeks as soon as we get our feet a little bit more grounded. And we look forward to bringing in some great guests and some great things and great choices. So thank you very much. You guys have a great week and share our podcast.
And thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.